Are you concerned about your health? And are you confident the NBA can pull this off safety-wise, health-wise?
They took all precautionary reasons, measures, to make sure that we as a league, as safe as we can be. Obviously, you know, in anything that you do, there can be things that could happen. But I'm here 100% in great health, and I'm looking forward to getting back on the floor.
That was LeBron James, weighing in after arriving at the NBA's clean site in Orlando. As players across the league pour into the bubble, they've been adjusting to health and safety measures, as well as the food, activities, and their new surroundings for the next few months, or so the NBA hopes. Today, ESPN's Malika Andrews joins us from inside the bubble to talk about life in basketball isolation, and whether it seems likely we'll get basketball at all. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, July 13th. This is ESPN Daily. Hey, Malika.
Hello.
So at this moment, you are in Orlando. You are in the NBA bubble, or pardon me, the NBA clean site. You've been there for a little over a week, almost 2 weeks, and I want to talk to you about what life is like inside there. But first, I thought I'd ask, what was the process of getting inside like?
Yeah, so I arrived in Orlando on the 29th of June, and initially we were put at a separate hotel, different from the hotel I'm currently staying at for the first 3 days. And then on the 2nd, we moved into the hotel that we are currently staying at, and we walked inside the doors, and there's a big fountain in the lobby, and you take a right at the fountain and picked up a bag that had in it a magic band and a map of the campus that also told you which number your hotel was, so that you wouldn't have to, normally you would check in with a person. They wanted to avoid that kind of face-to-face interaction. So we got tested and then went to our rooms, and again, couldn't leave our rooms for another 4 days to total a week-long quarantine where we had to register 7 negative coronavirus tests before we were able to walk around campus.
Is there a lot of media there right now?
I wouldn't say there's a lot. I believe there's going to be 20 total.
Is the process you went through the same one that NBA players and staff are going through as they arrive inside the clean site?
Yes and no. So our quarantine, like I said, lasted for 7 days, and that's because we flew commercially. But because the players have been tested regularly since the 23rd and also flew charter, their quarantine when they arrived to campus, it was the same. They were in their rooms for that duration of the quarantine. They had meals brought to their rooms just like we did, but they only had to register 2 negative tests in 48 hours versus 7 over the course of the week, just because of the exposure levels in which they traveled. If the teams, they all came together on the charter plane, their quarantine process all looks the same. It's 48 hours. Nikola Jokic, because he's coming from Europe, he has to register negative tests stateside as well as when he gets to the bubble. So yes, there are a lot of variants in terms of what it actually looks like for each individual player. It's more determined by what exposure levels they've had to COVID before they arrive on campus.
What have you been hearing from the players who are already there, and I don't know if you're even allowed to talk to them, about their attitude about the bubble and how they feel so far?
So once you get out of quarantine, for both players and reporters, there isn't a ton of separation because our lobbies are conjoined. So when I go to get coffee in the morning, I oftentimes see players grabbing some coffee or muffins, and we'll chat about the food that morning or how their workout was the day before. You run into players all the time. I've never just turned a corner down the hallway before and just said, oh, you know, there's LeBron or there's Giannis. That happens all the time here. And in terms of how they're feeling about it so far, I mean, it's definitely been an adjustment for the players that I've been talking to. In terms of one, finding where everything is. And so oftentimes I run into players looking a little lost and I'm pointing them to a restaurant, or they're asking, you know, J.R. Smith was on a mission over the weekend to find the manicure room. Damian Lillard has said, you know, it wasn't as bad as he thought it was going to be based on some of the things he heard. There are individual complaints that you hear about maybe a food preference that day, or that things should be a little bit more streamlined from the time they got there. But overall, the players that I'm talking to, they know that this is a monumental undertaking and in a lot of ways an experiment. The questions or the hiccups that they have had so far, whether it be finding a bug in their room or needing better directions to a place, they have faith that that's going to work out over time.
You mentioned J.R. Smith. A video he posted, won't be the last time, I'm guessing, a video he posted on Instagram went viral. Well, a few videos, but one in particular, he was, you know, complaining a little bit about some of the snacks. He compared his body to a Ferrari that needs premium gasoline.
Just saying, bro. I'm just saying, you want a Ferrari to run like a Ferrari because you paid for it as a Ferrari, but you keep gassing it up with a Chrysler. That's just me, though. That's whatever, man. Y'all do what y'all want to do. I'm just happy to be back, baby.
The food has been a big point of contention. Early on in the bubble, Troy Daniels posted some pictures that went viral. But Malika, that wasn't the food that they're eating the entire time, correct?
That's correct. And also, you know, Troy Daniels went and then posted another photo because the food tends to come in waves. And there are many options per mealtime. So when Troy Daniels posted his sandwich, I think he later then said that he also got a couple of other options that came with that sandwich, but the sandwich that he posted didn't look appetizing. But there definitely are options. And the other thing is, now that players are able to roam around campus, there are some restaurants that they can order at. One that's become very popular is there's a bar food Mexican hybrid restaurant that is in the lobby across from where the media grab and go food is. I often see players there eating dinner. But the problem for them is that it opens at 5. So I've run into Donovan Mitchell wanting to get a burger there before practice because he's become partial to that restaurant, but it doesn't open until after practice because it's not open until 5 o'clock. Now that each team has a meal room and there's food that's dropped off in that meal room for them to pick up if they want it. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There are some days that the food is much better than other days. When I was in quarantine, I thought the food was pretty delicious. They had these meatballs. They were vegetarian meatballs that were just off the chain delicious. But yeah, there are others that I say, you know what? I'm glad I have leftover salmon in my fridge from yesterday because this isn't too appetizing.
So there's the food, and then there's also the accommodations. The reaction to the rooms has also been, shall we say, divided. Rondo famously posted a photo of a hotel room that he may or may not have taken. There's a lot of conspiracies on the internet about this, comparing it to a Motel 6. But then, Malika, Pat Bev of the Clippers, well, he seemed to like his setup.
Bubba, what you making, man? Yeah, man, I got a little setup here. Yeah, got the Sage going over here, got a nice little view here. Yeah, man. Electronic system here. Okay.
What are you hearing about how the players feel about their accommodations?
The Patrick Beverley line, "The bubble is what you make it," is kind of becoming a little bit of a catchphrase. Look, these hotels are meant for families, right? Oftentimes people are coming to visit these properties as part of a family trip. And so they do look a little bit different. A lot of them have two beds instead of one bed. For the players, some of those secondary beds got moved out so they could bring in a larger bed that's more accommodating for someone with a 7-foot frame. It probably is different than what some of these players are accustomed to, because oftentimes they have contracts to stay in the largest suites at the highest ranked hotels. And that's not to say that these hotels aren't nice, but I think that it is a little bit of an adjustment for some of these players in terms of maybe in certain ways what they're used to on the road.
Now that the players are getting out of quarantine like you and can roam the campus, what sort of activities are available to them.
I was walking by yesterday. I was taking a walk in the evening, and I saw a group of players fishing. I am suspicious of the fish that are able to live in this man-made water, but there's a lot of players out. They stand on it's a wooden bridge, and they'll go fish out there. I've seen players playing, I call it cornhole, but I've learned recently that some folks call it bags, which I've never heard before. Connect Four has become a popular thing. And I've seen, you know, there are bikes to rent. I've seen coaches riding bikes around the loop around the water. And then, you know, of course, there are the guys that are in their rooms playing video games, but it's extremely hot here. It's extremely hot and humid. And I've been impressed with the amount of players and coaches that have braved the heat to do outside recreational activities.
I think it's worth taking a second to pause and sort of ruminate on how unbelievably weird everything we've been talking about is. Like, did you ever think you, an NBA reporter, would essentially be at summer camp with LeBron James?
It's definitely, I keep having to remind myself that it's the new normal. The interesting thing is, you can feel in many ways the weight of it. And also it's, you know, a really comprehensive attempt at resuming sports in the midst of the world going through just this incredibly disruptive pandemic. In talking about, you know, the players and how they feel, I do think they recognize that their complaints are balanced with this larger understanding that everything that is done that is uncomfortable here is done in the name of safety.
All right, after the break, let's talk about why they're doing this, which is to say what basketball in the bubble is like.
Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So Malika, you just came from Raptors practice. What did that look like?
You know, the players aren't wearing masks. The players aren't socially distancing, but the coaches were. Nick Nurse has a mask that says Coach Nurse, which is stitched to the bottom of his mask. The PR staff is wearing masks and, in fact, walking around to coaches who have their masks dangling off the side of their face saying, hey, like, do you need your mask dangling off the side of your face? Are you whistling right now or can you put it back on? Because we really need to be diligent here. And then as soon as the players come off of the court, they're able to be, you know, fully entangled when they're on the court. But off of the court, instead of having seats close together, all of the seats are spaced out 6 feet apart around the perimeter of the courts. Which is funny when you think of, well, just 2 minutes before, they were all able to be right up in each other's faces on the court. But as soon as you get off it, the social distancing is put right back into place. And then players, instead of coming over to a throng of media to talk, they go to a screen that has a backdrop for them, and they're speaking to reporters who aren't in Orlando, because most people aren't, via a Zoom session. the basketball looks very similar, but the precautions surrounding it look very, very different.
Are their practice schedules similar to the how they would be in the normal world? Like, what's an average day like for a player?
So one thing that Nick Nurse was asked about today is that their practice schedule changes every day. So for teams that are really routine oriented, like in covering Milwaukee, they tend to always have their practices and their shootarounds around the exact same time every day, no matter what market they're in. Now they may be starting practice at 1 o'clock on Monday, but starting it at 5 o'clock on Tuesday and 9 a.m. on Wednesday. Oftentimes, NBA teams fall into this routine of having the same sort of practice times, the same sort of schedule. They wake up, they lift, they eat, they practice, they watch film. Now, because the league is having to help facilitate practice schedules just based off of the fact that there are only a handful of practice spaces, 5 or 6 for 22 teams, they all have to be staggered.
Once the players get through the quarantine and, you know, the initial round of tests, do they have to keep testing? Like, how is their health monitored from this point going forward?
Yeah, actually, when I got tested right before we started recording this podcast, Mina, and Jared Dudley and Kostas Antetokounmpo were in line behind me to get tested. So they're still getting tested every day. And now we have to schedule our tests. So we go into a website and the team, a representative for the team does it for the teams as well, and just schedules times in which you can go to the testing room and get the one swab up one nostril, one swab up the other nostril, and the third swab down the throat. Now, in the safety protocol, the NBA has said that at some point after they deem appropriate, they may drop down testing to every other day or every 3 days. But for right now, that testing is still the same. And then on top of that, every day, we, the players, the media, the team staff, league staff, every morning we have to take a reading of our thermometer that the league gave us and also a reading of a pulse oximeter that the league gave us and enter that into an app that the league created. Because when you're walking around campus, when players are walking around campus, especially if they're coming in from another hotel to practice at one of the courts at this hotel, they have to scan their magic bands as they walk in and out of any court. And if they haven't entered that data, that band will scan blue and they'll be stopped. If they enter it every morning and they don't have a fever and their pulse oximeter doesn't indicate that their body is in distress, then that band will scan green and they can walk right into practice no problem.
So while we're talking, the MLS tournament is happening just down the road. And they're having to postpone games and in some, you know, they had to send some teams home because of positive tests. What will happen in the NBA bubble if a player tests positive?
So the idea is that the NBA bubble is built to withstand a handful, and the league has not determined exactly what a handful means, but a handful of positive tests from individual players. And in that case, there is a separate area in which they will be sent to quarantine until they are symptom free and have also registered 2 negative tests. And that's the same for anybody on campus who tests positive for COVID. But what Adam Silver has said in this past week is that what would be concerning to him is that if everyone comes in testing negative and is continuously doing so for the first several days, the first several weeks, maybe even a month or two, and then a positive test pops up, he would be concerned about where that positive test could be coming from. And then if a large group, again, that number large hasn't exactly been defined by the league. If a large group of players were to test positive, they haven't ruled out that they would shut down playing games and shut down the season here.
It's not just the players who are being, you know, tested and whose health is a subject of concern. Coaches and staff, as we've discussed, also have to go through this process, and some of them are much more vulnerable, right, to coronavirus. Spurs coach Greg Popovich is the oldest coach in the league, but you know, he's there, and he actually said he thinks the NBA bubble is safer than staying in Texas. Do you think a lot of coaches and players share that sentiment?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that many, many times over. In talking to coaches like Alvin Gentry, he's told me he feels the same about New Orleans in Louisiana, another state that has, you know, continued to, especially over a couple of weeks ago, continued to record high case numbers. He said that he felt that he was safer being in the bubble, especially because if, heaven forbid, anyone were to contract it, they would catch it so quickly because of that daily testing.
It makes sense, right, that they feel safer in some ways, but of course, they're also in Florida, where cases are spiking to incredible levels and where, you know, those staffers live and work. Are any of them sort of concerned about coming in and out of this site? And are the players concerned about that as well?
From what I have seen, they're being as careful as possible. They're not really interacting with the players. I've seen the Disney employees who you can identify because they're wearing these bright salmon outfits. They step off to the side when they see someone who is wearing the green tagged credentials that people who are actually living in the bubble have to wear at all times outside of their room. They give them plenty of room to walk by. They are always wearing masks. They are always wearing face shields. They get tested not as frequently as we do, but they're getting tested. They get temperature checks when they walk through the door. Players voiced concerns to me before they actually arrived in Orlando and sort of saw what things were actually going to be like for them. But since they've been here, I haven't heard any concerns over interactions with the Disney cast members or staff.
So Malika, it's July 13th.
Already?
Games are slated to begin July 30th. I know, right? It's you know, the 50th day of March or whatever, 500th day at this point. What do you think is the optimism level? And I realize that's an indeterminate sort of thing, similar to a quote unquote handful of players. But what would you say right now is the optimism level that we're actually going to get games?
I asked one Western Conference executive that the other day. I said, do you think this is going to work? And he said, yeah. I'm pretty confident this is going to work. There is still a feeling that this is early. You can't relax into it too much. You have to continue to be vigilant. There haven't been games played yet where there is a lot of inter-squad interactions within 6 feet of each other, although I have seen players from various teams grabbing dinner together. I think that's going to be the real test. But if I were to put a number on it, there's probably 87% of the folks here feel optimistic.
It's so weird here, Mina.
Thanks so much, Malika. Coming up, let's talk about life in the hockey bubble, which is not to be confused with bubble hockey.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Here's another story I want you to know. Today, we talked about life in the NBA bubble. Soon, we'll have a hockey bubble to dissect in two different parts of the world. Because late last week, the NHL and NHLPA completed the ratification process of their return to play plan, a 24-team tournament to conclude the season that will take place in Canada, in Toronto and Edmonton. The two sides also agreed to a 4-year CBA extension. Somewhere, Rob Manfred just shed a single tear. So while the cities and start date of August 1st are now set in stone for the NHL, our Greg Wyshynski, who will join us soon to discuss all of this, pointed out that there are still questions about the Canadian bubbles, or as they call them, the Phase 4 secure zones, which admittedly does sound a lot more intense. For example, the guidelines say the players will have the opportunity to take social excursions both in and outside the zones, which is, of course, a fancy way of saying field trips and raises the question, where might they be going and can we watch? On a less fun note, Greg also noted that while the regulations are very detailed, they don't lay out a threshold for the number of positive tests that would stop the season, which is something that every league seems to have in common. All of these plans to get the season started are detailed and painstakingly so, but it's less clear what it will take to stop them. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.